Abel for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 11th chapter. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it,' and will bring it back here immediately." They went away and found a colt tied near the door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, Why are you untying the colt?" They told them what Jesus said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and laid their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming King of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Then Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, it was already late. He went out to Bethany with the 12. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated, and I will be with you momentarily. That I developed a cough last Thursday, so I was tested for COVID-19 on Saturday, and that came back negative. So what I'm dealing with is a cold. I just want to reassure you that I'm not spreading the virus, but I would just appreciate your prayers that I can get over this cold sooner rather than later, but I think I'll just keep my mask on this morning so that I'm not spreading my cold around to any of you. It was a long time ago that I wrote a series of stories for Palm Sunday. These stories are based on the three different accounts that we have of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem from the Gospels. And these stories are narrated by Wilbur, a talking horse. He is the great-great-great-great-great-great-grandson of Clive the colt who carried Jesus into Jerusalem. To the cheers of an excited and exuberant crowd, just like we have had this morning. So I thought it'd be fun to dust off these stories for a new generation. So I just invite you to sit back, relax, and listen as the story unfolds. Good morning. My name is Wilbur. And Pastor Hop asked if I would join you this morning to share the story of my great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather, Clive the Colt. I am delighted to be here with you today. My great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather, Clive the Colt, is the colt that you read about today in the Gospel according to Mark. Grandpa Clive just knew that he was born for something great. Be a champion chariot racer in the Roman arena circuits, or to be a well-known, powerful warhorse for a powerful Roman general, or perhaps even the emperor king himself. Day after day, Clive just stood around. He was tied to this tree or to that post, never ridden. not once, just stood around. He couldn't understand. One day, a day that seemed like any other day, two men came and began to untie Clive the colt. They were strangers to him. His owner asked the strangers, "Why are you untying my colt?" The men simply said, "The Lord has need of it." The Lord. Did I hear that right? Clive wondered. The Lord? Clive's heart jumped. Clive thought. Then he knew. He knew this was his big break, his big moment. A Lord needed him. And Clive was ready. He was ready for the parades and the shows. He was ready for the races and the fans. He was ready even for war, if that's what it meant, if that's what he was called to do. The Lord needed him. The two men led Clive outside the city to the Mount of Olives, a place near Bethany. That's when the men called out, "Hey, Jesus, your ride is here." Jesus? Clive had seen Jesus, and he had heard about him. He was a Jewish man, not Roman. He was a healer, a teacher, a spiritual man, but a Lord? Suddenly, a couple of cloaks, that's outer garments, that's what we called them back then, outer garments were thrown over Grandpa Clive's back, and Jesus got on. Before getting on Clive's back, however, Jesus looked Clive in the eye and he winked at him. That's when Clive saw something in Jesus that he had never seen before. He knew there was something special about this Jesus. He truly was a Lord, a King. This was Clive's big break. People began to gather, many people, many, many people. They laid their cloaks on the ground, along with leafy branches cut from the fields. It was as if Grandpa Clive was walking on clouds. The road was so soft instead of being so stony as it usually was. The people shouted, "Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest." Clive could feel the revolution coming. He would be Jesus' war horse. Everything was going great. Clive knew that Jesus would lead him to greatness, to stardom, a life of honor and praise. But then all at once things changed. As they arrived in Jerusalem at the temple, Jesus dismounted to talk to the people, and Clive was led away. He was led away by some men. He was separated from Jesus. Not only that, but he was led outside of the city to a hill, an ugly hill called Golgotha, which meant the skull. This isn't what Clive had expected at all or hoped from Jesus. He had carried the Lord, the King, into the city. Why this? Why this separation? And now this job. Clive was given the worst job of all. Clive the colt became a pack horse. He was led to the foot of a cross, and as the dead bodies of criminals were taken down, Clive had to carry them to their common grave. It was awful. Clive was angry with Jesus. This isn't what he expected from King Jesus. He expected Jesus to take him with him to the front lines of the revolution, then to the palace and to the throne. And he expected to live in the royal stable. But Jesus had left him behind, abandoned him to this disgusting and disgraceful work. Clive decided right then and there that if he ever had the chance to carry Jesus again, he would buck him off right onto the ground. You know how Clive felt too, I'm sure. You felt that way about Jesus, about King Jesus. You've wanted him to make you great. Or you've wanted him to fix something in your life. Or you've wanted a new bike or a new house or a new car. You've wanted King Jesus to fix your parents or your kids, your family or your marriage. You've wanted him to cure your cancer or that of a loved one, to help a friend that you couldn't. You've wanted Jesus to use his influence for your greatness, for great things that you care about. So you've felt let down and disappointed too, haven't you? Some king, huh? Some revolution. Well, day after day, Clive the colt was led out to that ugly hill to carry bodies Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Then Friday morning came. Something seemed different. The sky was dark. The wind was cutting. Something was in the air. As Clive came to the mountain at midday, he heard angry cries. The crowd was ridiculing someone. Huh, they must really hate this one, Clive thought. He must have done something awful. It was almost 3 in the afternoon now, but it felt like midnight. Clive kept busy throughout the afternoon. The time went fast. He would be getting done soon, done for the day. And Clive was tired. He was tired, but all at once, Clive was being led back up the ugly mountain once again instead of to the stable. Why? It was late. The Passover would be here soon at 6 o'clock, and it was almost 6 already. No one can work on the Passover. Hurry up, you stupid colt, the man barked. Clive didn't appreciate the abuse. Finally, they reached the top of the hill, and Clive approached a cross. He looked up and he saw a sign, King of the Jews. Some king, he thought. I guess his reign is over. He was curious, though. He had heard that title somewhere before. Where? He stood now beneath the cross, hoping for a quick drop so he could get home and rest. Wham! The body fell like lead upon Clive's back. This one's a mess, Clive thought. Clive usually couldn't look. But this time was different. This time Clive had to see. He turned, and as he did, he met the dead man's eyes. The dead man's eyes that hung over his back. They were the eyes of Jesus. Jesus was dead. The revolution had ended. His reign complete. So much for Clive's hopes and dreams. It seemed like King Jesus had let a lot of people down. After all, what kind of king gets crucified? None that I've ever seen, Clive thought. Clive hung his head. He remembered thinking that the next time he carried Jesus that he'd buck him off. That really didn't seem necessary anymore. So Clive, even though he hated his job and was disappointed in Jesus, he took Jesus carefully to his grave. Not a common grave like other criminals, but a new one carved in rock. And he watched. He watched as the Roman soldiers sealed the tomb, the stone over the entrance of the tomb. The Sabbath came and it went. Sunday morning, Clive was slow to get up. Friday had been a tough, tough day. He still thought about Jesus, how he was disappointed in him, how he almost got famous, how if Jesus was a king, he was a different kind of king than Clive had ever met before. As Clive made his way up that ugly hill that morning, He was loaded there with two bodies, one on either side of where Jesus had been hanged. As he carried both men to their grave, he passed the tomb of Jesus. Something was wrong. Was something wrong with Clive's eyes? Was the tomb open? Clive stopped to blink, not once, but many times. Were his eyes deceiving him? Could it be? Could it be? Suddenly there was Jesus, alive. Clive's heart jumped. He knew it. He knew Jesus had been up to something, something big, something huge. Jesus had overcome death. King Jesus, a king like no other, had overcome death and the grave. And with a smile on his face, Clive knew that he had carried the Lord not once, but twice. And right then and there, Clive knew that this was never about him. It was always about Jesus and life and a new reign that is coming. Just then, Jesus smiled and he winked at Clive. And then he whispered in one of his big ears, he whispered, "Thanks for the rides, Clive. Oh, and thanks for not bucking me off." Clive blushed. From that day forward, Clive never complained about his job again. Instead, he carried everybody as if he was carrying King Jesus himself. Now, you might be tempted to think this is the end. The end? No way. This.